Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I told my wife we had to get control of the finances in our household. We had to sit down and make a budget we could live by. I said, we'll list her incomes and all her bills, so get the bills, honey, if you will. And she got them and stacked them on a table 3 pounds high. Now I work 2 jobs, and the wife cleans homes, and her daughter babysits, and the son mows lawns, but that budget wouldn't balance no matter how we tried. So I said, let's do what the government does. It works for them, it might work for us. So I forgot my ethics and morals and swallowed my pride. We took out every credit card we could get and loaded them up with the maximum debt and borrowed from friends and family and even took out loans overseas. I borrowed at work, had credit at the store till folks just wouldn't give us credit anymore. And I said, honey, the next step is clear to me. And now we've got money, we'll buy my money. Yeah, we're printing it in the basement just as fast as we can. We're making money, we'll buy my money. Yeah, we live in the Obama budget plan.
Well, we didn't use the money to reduce our debt. There was a whole bunch of things we still wanted to get now that we had more money than ever before. So we built a deck and a patio, put in a pool, bought a second home, and took all the friends on vacation to Costa del Sol. Cause we got money, we'll buy my money. Yeah, we're printing it in the basement just as fast as we can. We're making money, we'll buy my money. Yeah, we're living the Obama budget plan. Budget ceiling, credit score, don't worry about that, I'll just print more. That money, we'll buy my money. Yeah, hey, honey, make a run to Office Depot. I need more paper. Hurry back. I got to pick up my new Cadillac this afternoon. And I'm printing you up a little surprise birthday stimulus package, too. Boy, I sure hope them spoil sport Republicans and Tea Party folks don't screw this up. Once you renounce any sense of decency, it gets easier and easier. You know, I think I'll just buy Boardwalk and Park Place. Hey, I wonder how much you want for that General Motors company there.
Good evening, folks. This is the Hoot and Holler. I'm Lonnie.
I'm Bill. And I'm Chad.
And we're the Hoot and Holler gang.
Oh, folks, been one of them weeks again, hasn't it? That every time we look on the TV or we look into the news, we're like, what in the heck are these people doing?
They don't know what they're doing, really. They think they do.
I actually think they got a game board out in life and trying to figure out which move they're supposed to make next.
Yeah.
They surely, I have to say that they totally lack any kind of negotiation powers on a foreign level, on our nationwide level, and then on many state levels. It's just a total dysfunction. No negotiating skills, no business skills, no reality skills.
They need to go back to Math 101, too.
You look at this little deal that John Kerry supposedly made with Iran and all this, and you got to ask yourself, what the hell did he accomplish?
Nothing. We're
gonna drop sanctions. That's it. So the world doesn't become any safer. I don't blame Netanyahu for being ticked off about it. And it's not just there. was finding out that they're still trying to give special deals to unions on the health care deal while they're screwing the rest of us. And we're watching them put it off. You know, let's put off the whole debate till after the election so that it doesn't destroy our chances to maintain power in the Senate. And I think that's going to backfire in their faces big time. The people are going to know it's coming before it comes. So they're going to be against it, you know.
There's all kinds of people against it.
Oh, yeah. Sandy, they think they're ready. They think they're ready. They're no more ready than we are. Sadness today, and I sat there when I talked to many pastors today, and I heard from many of them when they were talking at my mother-in-law's funeral. And, you know, it was a hard day, but it was also a joyful day because we realized that we're the ones suffering. She's left the suffering. She's not suffering no more. Now we're the ones suffering.
She's where everybody wants to be.
Hey, yeah. For me, my life, my walk towards God, she was the one lighting the path for me. And I talked to many people today that I normally probably wouldn't have talked to, and they asked me what I did, and I started telling them what I did and explaining why I did it. Many of them understood everything. Many of them were very supportive. I was, you know, even the pastors were supportive. You know, we're constantly watching our freedoms and our liberties slide away, just one at a time.
I don't care
what party you belong to. Freedoms and your liberties sliding away. I don't care. You know, how can you back any party that's taken away that from you?
Or your kids or grandkids.
Yeah, you're never going to get it back.
And that's a very, the government and all them, that heathen people, let's put it that way, I just don't understand what their thinkings are. They're trying to snowball us and tell us, oh, they're trying to help us and everything, but what they're really doing is destroying us, pulling us apart.
Well, that's part of it, because it's, you're never going to control everybody if you let them, if they have anything that unites them, any kind of factor that would pull them or unite them, that works against you if you're trying to take total control. So you divide the people. You work against them. You destroy their cultures. You destroy their economy. You take away their ability to defend themselves. You push an indoctrination amongst the youth. You don't educate them. You indoctrinate them. You dumb them down because an intelligent, free-thinking youth will not stand still to be dominated like this.
But see, don't they understand that they're not exempt? Are they that big of idiots that they can they think all of them, oh, we're fine. The same crap's going to happen.
What do you got to say there, Miss Linda?
Hey.
Hi, Linda.
Hello, gentlemen from Indiana. My favorite Hoot and Holler boys. I just want to say I'm going to come in and out. I'm going to keep myself on the line, though, even though I'm just hanging out in the kitchen because I have clients this evening. But, you know, I want to shout out to the Strong family because they're such wonderful people, and I know you guys went through a lot of stuff today, and my heart goes out to Jolene and everybody, and I'm just glad that Mom's in heaven now. So there you go. I mean, that's the only thing you've got going for you. So, you know, this is a hard time of year, and I know Rod Luke has not been around because he's probably very depressed. I know his wife passed, I'm not sure how long ago, but it was in November. So anytime that triggers people's depression, so I understand, and we've got to reach out to him too. So, the other, you know, what I'm seeing with literally the totalitarianness of it, because I was watching back-to-back Glenn Beck's today because I'm running out of time. I'm, like, running around like a one-armed paper hanger right now. But this time of year, it's true. So they were talking about the death panels and Super Bilious, you know, Kathleen, the evil one. there's all these people behind the scenes. You guys don't even see these people, like the Berkowitzes and the Holdrens and the Cass Sunsteins and the rest of these clowns. These people are complete. These are Fabian socialists. They really do want totalitarian takeover. The only thing that's stopping them is the fact that we still have the guns. You know, it's going to be a mess because that'll be the next thing they're going to do. Because if, like, today, I don't know if you guys know about the Ayn Rand Center, and there's a man named Jeroen Brooks who's very well spoken about Austrian School of Economics, which is the opposite of what we have, of course. Hayek understood it. Von Mises understood it. Ayn Rand understood it. We're in the Keynesian model, which stinks, and that's why we're in such a mess. And the last part of this show today that I kind of got in and out with about the financial collapse that's coming, the only scenario that Iran has come up with is that it will be followed very quickly by a completely totalitarian regime. These people are playing for keeps, guys. Do not think they're incompetent. They picked Obozo for a reason. They did.
Yeah, but they can't underestimate the American people.
Oh, Linda, yes, they can.
You would think I would be here tonight, Linda, if I didn't think this was of the utmost importance.
Absolutely. Oh, I know. It's going to get a real ugly, Bill, and I'm afraid. I really am.
I would have to tell you a little bit about the woman we were honoring today. VH1 in 1992 or 3, VH1 picked her as number one in making a difference in her community in America.
Wow.
She was the first woman behind the walls of Pendleton Reformatory here in Indiana preaching. Preached
awesome.
Over 1,500 inmates then. She spent 24 years going around to the jails and stuff, preaching to talking to the inmates and taking the word of God there.
Good.
She traveled to the Bahamas and all across the country doing that. You could call her any time, day or night. This woman would get out of her bed and come to your house for God.
Sure.
And
amazing. God bless her.
To me, it would have been wrong for me not to continue fighting. Because she would have.
Oh, sure. Oh, she's smiling down right now. Come on. She knows you're doing it. It's amazing. There's a connection there. You got to know. I mean, that's just fabulous. You know, we have to celebrate lives too, Bill. I know it's sad, but we really need to celebrate what they left for us.
Yeah.
You know, their legacy. Yeah, their legacy. Absolutely.
Everyone needs to take a look at the young people, the young kids around. If you go by a park or something or a school or something, you see all those young kids. Look at them. Because they are the reason we are fighting and doing what we're doing.
Sure.
We are trying to ensure that they have an opportunity to have success, that they have the chances and the liberty and the freedoms that we have had. We're trying to ensure that.
I know.
And that's why we do what we do. You know and I know at our ages, Linda, not much of what we're going to do is going to change much for us.
Maybe not for us, but for the people coming behind us, absolutely. No, you know, well, that's what that whole Revolutionary War in the beginning was about. That wasn't just for them. That was for posterity. They all said it. They all believed that. Oh, my gosh. Especially John Adams. Absolutely, he believed that. Huge. So, and who was it, Chad, that was talking about the people in charge? They think that they're going to escape things. Well, there's some of these people, like the Pelosi's of the world and all these, they actually think that they can go to their little underground bunkers or whatever, or get on their private jets and, you know, go to wherever the hell they want and actually expatriate if they want to.
She's going to be one that's getting taken out.
Yeah.
Well, that may be true, but here's the thing.
I wouldn't want to be in their positions where the public, everyone knows who you are. They know where your involvement was. And if things go crazy, you know the public's going to, that's who they're going to punish. You've seen it, and history has repeated that, where they have went in, took their leaders out, put them in stocks, principles at them,
some of
them beheaded, whatever, you know. But we've seen it throughout history.
I know. When you look at the history part, what they did to Mussolini when they, they hanged him, and then they beheaded him, and, you know, did. But that was after a long period of his fascism. That wasn't, like, overnight just because the economy collapsed. No. It takes a long time for that stuff to turn around. What I'm saying is I don't care who they are. I don't care if it's Netanyahu, if it's Ahmadinejad or Obozo or Michelle. When they go in front of him, let me tell you, when they go in front of God, that's when I'm going to see some real justice because that's eternal. And they're gonna, that's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for.
No matter what happens to him, it's more justice
enough. I find the arrogance of all these people that are pushing the depopulation and Agenda 21 and all this and that, that they think that somehow when its population comes down to that small amount that they figure on, that they are still going to be a part of it.
Here's what I think. When you look at all the stuff that happened, especially in World War II, and all those regimes that were out there, whether it was Japan or China or Pol Pot or Stalin or Hitler or Lenin, and these crazy people, what usually happens is they've got some kind of a machine in place. You know, the depopulation comes through the actual wars and the famines and the starvation and the evil regimes. And the transports and the shooting and the camps and the, you know, the Gestapo and the Cheka. I mean, this is where it comes from. I don't think that even Bill Gates and the rest of these assholes, excuse my French, can have enough organization to actually pull off what they think they're going to pull off, especially if this goes south, because there ain't going to be too much money left to do any of this stuff. And it ain't going to come from the taxpayers, let me tell you, because there ain't going to be income for anybody.
They haven't showed us that they're that big of a – they're that smart yet. Because we wouldn't know all about them if they were that smart.
Well, that's why we're so fortunate to have the Internet, to have our cell phones, and eventually we're going to have ham radios because you know that's where it's headed. And we're going to have CB radios, man. I used to use a CB radio. I actually had a ham radio a long time ago. I've got to get one and get my license or whatever or just figure out how to use it and go ahead and do it. Yeah, everything that I actually need would come to the conclusion of about $2,000 or $3,000 right now, which I'm trying to save up for. So, oy vey.
You can buy a decent ham radio system for much less than that.
No. I'm saying if I want my generator, my radio, and my blood vest and things like that.
My wife is right. She said around here anyway. I mean, in southern Indiana, yeah, it's a lot lower than it is probably there in California to buy those kinds of things.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Look, every time you turn around, it's like the price goes up dramatically. Now, I've heard that even nationally the price of chicken's gone up. The only thing I've seen go slightly is the price of gas down the street, but I'm sure that's going to change. The price of chicken's gone up, the beef, all of it. Crazy.
Sadly for us sitting here, our price of chicken is all we'd have to do is go over and help pluck them and prepare them.
Exactly.
We got too many friends and relatives around here who raise chicken.
Let me tell you something.
Brother raises goats. I got cousins that's got animals. There's people right across the street in front of us, right across the road. There's all kinds of cows. And we have deer and turkey all over the place.
I know. It's fabulous. I can hardly wait, Bill. I'm stuck here for a while, but that's okay because I need to hang out with my mom and stuff. And then we'll figure it out because I'll be calling you on the phone and saying, find me a property I can afford in a couple years, maybe you're down the road.
I had a group here the other day, and I was telling them, I'm dead serious. We got to find our haven in the boonies, and we need to find it now.
So
several other people here, I was hoping to have a friend of mine here, but with the way this things went today, maybe next week he is. I consider Chris Snyder to be a survival specialist. This is a guy who's been going out and dropping backpacks full of stuff here and there all over.
Wow.
You know, he's been doing this for quite a few years. This guy is ready if it happens.
Wow. Yeah, that's the kind of people we need on our shows because we need to do different things like this. We did Agenda 21 last week. We can get survival stuff next time. And, you know, there's all kinds of information out there. I'm learning things myself every day from my friends that I go target practicing with. And brother-in-law was telling me that if you find yourself in Arizona and you can get to a good gunsmith or, you know, you get your ammo, you just get whatever you need. You want to buy something there, especially a long gun, you just buy it. You don't have to deal with any of this nonsense like you do in California. So, oh, California and New York are the worst. They're absolute, absolute gun nut, anti-gun worst places to be. So there are other parts, and I know that from talking to Ron in different chat rooms and stuff, that and he showed me stuff that in Georgia, and I know in Indiana is probably much more freer than we are here.
We definitely around here say we got the West Coast with San Francisco, and we got the East Coast with New Gomorrah.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. It's doomed. There's no question that California is completely off the rails. Speaking of which, I just found out that the court told the idiots in Sacramento that they can't do certain things with bond measures and try to get that stupid high-speed rail going because they were trying to short-circuit something about so many miles, and they said, well, let's 25 miles, and this is absolutely not. You're not doing this. You have to have all of your ducks in a row, all the miles that you're dealing with the environmental concerns, whatever they call it, where they do the studies. And so they put the kibosh on this whole thing, which I'm very happy because they were trying to do this Agenda 21 high rail thing, you know, in the San Joaquin Valley, which they shut the water off because of some Delta smelt. Oh, God. And they turned that beautiful breadbasket of the world into a desert, these SOBs. And that was Frankenstein, Miserable Boxer, Nancy Piglosi, and the rest of them in Ovamit who did this stuff. Let me tell you, they're evil. Along with the EPA, it's got to go away. We got to take this country back. If they want a revolution, let's give it to them.
We've got to turn this country around. We were a blessed nation. We had many things going for us, and all those things that made us such a great blessed nation are now being attacked from every front because someone feels like they can profit off of it. Or gain control off of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been talking about this redistribution of wealth for the past 2 days on Mike Slater's show, talking about Obamacare, all the death panels that are coming in, talking about it on the mainstream media at all, nothing on the black box because it's just a wasteland. It's a huge wasteland. They're talking about all these different measures that are happening. They're dealing with the Supreme Court actually is talking about their the freedom of religion part about the contraceptives today. Apparently that's going on this week. We don't know the outcome yet. There's so much, and then what they were talking about as far as what America was an idea of individual sovereignty. You can't have national sovereignty without individual sovereignty. You can't. You just can't do it. That's the whole point. You have to start with yourself as a free person.
For Chad, Lonnie, and I, our ancestors come here seeking religious freedom, not religious suppression, but religious freedom. And what we see is we've now turned where it was supposed to be freedom of religion to freedom from religion.
Oh, I know. That's because we have crazy Marxist, godless, secular humanists running this country right now. That's what's going on. And D.C. is the district of criminals and corruption. That's my estimation of it. I can't take it anymore. And exactly right what Glenn said today was you cannot have national sovereignty without sovereign individuals. You can't do it. It's impossible. You have to have freedom and maximum responsibility. And we've got to unplug from this crap. What one of our friends, Mikey, from the hot seat was saying is, he says, if you guys want Obamacare to fail, you stop paying to these insurance companies. Just absolutely stop paying. Don't file your income taxes. Don't get involved with these insurance companies. Unplug from this system. Get your money out of the bank. Be self-reliant. If you're not self-reliant, you're part of the problem.
Well, you know, most of the people I've talked to, and they've talked about this whole health care dilemma, is almost every one of them I talk to, by a vast majority, is like, they'll have to find me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and the other thing is, they can't, if you take your money out of the bank and you don't file your stupid taxes, they can't get you. I mean, you can dig in as best you can and make sure, you know, just go unplug from the matrix. I mean, it's just ridiculous what they've got us. They've got us wrapped around their fingers, and we allow it. See, this is because we allow it.
The whole idea,
what?
They come after anybody for taxes when Charlie Rangel got away with tax evasion.
Oh, yeah.
5 or 6 damn times.
Well, that's smart.
I would think that Charlie himself has set a precedent.
He's such an idiot. Look, that guy, I have another name for him, Dingle Dangle Wrangle. Oh, God. I mean, this Schmendrick. I have to laugh at these people. I mean, please.
Well, I don't take them seriously. I'll call him Dingle Dangle Wrangle, and if you will refer to Nancy Pelosi by my pet name for her, the mother of immorality.
I call her Stretch because of her face. And some people call her Piglosi, like P-I-G, which is true. Her mind is so far gone. She and Harry Reid belong in some kind of a mental ward. I mean, please. How else do you describe this? They're senile.
Blinking wonder.
What?
She's the blinking wonder. If you ever watch when there's something going on, it blinks like constantly.
Well, I don't know. It looks like she has toothpicks in her eyelids because she can't. She's had so much Botox. It's unbelievable. It's sad. And then we were talking about Lurch Perry. That guy is, I mean, oh, my Lord. And then we've got all these people out there talking about who's going to run in 2016. My head's going to explode. I can't take it. Fuck, you're kidding me. Oh,
people, let's hope we make it to 2016.
I know. Exactly. You never know, Bill, because everybody says the same thing. Even Yaron Brooks, they don't have a timeline. Nobody knows when this thing's going to go. But they've been talking about this for 2 years or better, and everybody's scared. People are doing, you know, they're buying silver and gold. They're taking their monies out of the banks. They're unplugging from the system the best that they can, and that's what they're doing.
I can't blame anybody. Because it is so screwed up. It is so corrupt.
It's a mess. Yeah, it is.
If the taxpayers ever figured out that what's really going on is these people, the elect and all their cronies, are patting themselves off of our money. How many of Michelle Obama's friends and how many of Valerie Jarrett's children became millionaires off the health care deal?
Oh, well, insurance companies, don't forget who wrote it. Okay, guys, you guys keep talking. I'm going to put myself on kind of like hold.
When you look at all that money that went to finance this health care bill, to pay for this website and all this math, and you look at all the names of the people, you start seeing that, wow, there's friends of Michelle Obama's, there's Valerie Jarrett's kids and stuff. And then you realize that the people who did the website, well, hell, they're being sued all over the place of the globe.
Yep.
Canada, Germany, other people are after them because they screwed up their stuff.
Well, not only that, did you see where he's declaring that he's thinking about shutting the health bill and then turn around and redo it and want everybody to vote for it then?
If he does that, he's going to push for one-payer system. And behind, we got to keep a close eye here because he's going to try to slip this immigration thing through here. And I'm going to tell you, the health care bill, his immigration bill, when the true number is actually known, and I'm so tired of people using that 11 million. That is so fake, so far off. If you don't believe me, you wait and see. Go back and look at history. How many times did they say when they gave an amnesty, did they say, a certain amount, and it turned out to be way above those amounts every time.
Yep. I agree. Now, speaking of immigration, let's just take a time out here for a minute. I want you to, y'all, I'm picking on things today. I found some Ray Stevens stuff, and this is what he thinks about the immigration.
Well, you go right ahead, cuz. You can screw up the day I can't reach you and choke you.
There we go.
I fill my coffee cup.
Job,
well, they didn't lose their jobs, quote. They got just placed in another area.
No, I'm talking about there were some military personnel who lost their jobs.
Yeah, because they didn't want to stand
down. They didn't want to stand down.
Yes, you're correct. You're correct.
And
that's not the American, I know.
That's a sadness. So here's the sadness. We're trying to find answers about the deaths before when these people are out there talking to death of billions.
Yeah.
Agenda 21, I harp on it all the time. You guys know
I'm back.
And we know Linda's on Agenda 21 all the time, and we keep trying to... You can't pick anything going on that's not a part of Agenda 21.
And my heart goes
right
out to the Philippines. I mean, I've seen the number today. They got 5,200. That's a lot, and they're still counting. So keep, I mean...
That's true. I did hear one good thing, that there was a ship out of San Diego that was called the Mercy Ship. They said not to send it because they were actually in better shape than they had hoped that, or thought that they were going to be. And so they were able to pretty much fend for themselves on that particular situation as far as blood donation. So that's actually good news. I know that the ones who lost their lives is bad, but
we talk about
they're recovering.
People lost their lives, and at the moment, that's, you know, you're thankful that it wasn't the tens of thousands that
they said. They said, yeah.
Right.
Thank God that didn't happen. But the number's still going. So.
But you live in an area that you know that kind of stuff can happen. Yeah.
Right.
I don't like the idea of getting shark bit. So I stay in the middle of the country, and I stay out of the salt water because I don't think I'm going to run into one around here.
Nope.
Well, you know, Phil, where we are, I don't go out that far anyway. If it was something that actually hurt me, it would probably beach itself before it got that close to me, because I don't go up to my neck even. I just get the medium waves. I'm pretty smart about that.
Huh? A good friend of mine lived off the street, a kid, and he was happy. They were going to Florida for 2 weeks for vacation. While he was down there, he got stung by a jellyfish in the water. And then they was at a park somewhere, and a squirrel bit him.
Oh, lovely.
So I wasn't that enthused the first time my parents were like, we're going to Florida. I'm thinking, wait a minute.
You're saying,
yeah, The ones that come out, whether they're great whites or they're the kind that's going to bite you, you have to be pretty far out. You know, the last one I heard of, and I think it was off the shore of La Jolla or something like that, the guy was, like, doing stuff where they took him out in a boat, and then they would do this, like, different, the surfing with, you know, from the middle where they get the bigger waves. And he was 22 miles offshore. I mean, that's, I'm like a few yards. You know what I mean? I'm not anywhere near. No.
But down in Florida, a lot of people get bit in waist-deep water.
Yeah, because the water's warmer. It's you know, we got it pretty cold here, even in the best of times.
You've
got to be hard.
I noticed that, Linda, when I was out there many years ago. I noticed that because I went running down there to jump into the water, and I got right back out real quick.
You know that my brother-in-law has been surfing since he was like 15 years old, and he still wears, in February, when they're diehard surfers, they go out every morning, he still wears a wetsuit, a full one, with booties, because it's cold.
Oh, yeah.
With a wetsuit, you don't feel it, because it insulates you. It fills up with water, and then your body temperature heats the water, so you got like a heater going on. So it's cool.
Yeah, it's thermal.
Oh, yeah, we know. We go all out with our haunted house things, and a few years back, my cousin had a Creature from the Black Lagoon suit, and we're talking, this was in October in Indiana.
Oh, how funny. That's
and
funny.
He comes out of the pond. He had an aqualung inside the suit, and he comes out of the pond. He grabs Lonnie, drags Lonnie back into the pond, but nobody ever saw Lonnie come up.
Oh, dear.
We wrestled, and I disappeared. Up into the barn. Nobody even knew it. We had an uncle
that
we set up.
left my
we had an uncle that said that.
Oh, I was going to ask you guys, when we did the
uncle there on the sideline, he was trying to keep Lonnie from getting drugged in, and Lonnie got drugged in, and he was like, poor Uncle Phil was running back and forth like he didn't know what to do.
Oh, no. When we do Delaney again, what's the water like in July? I never did get to go down there.
It should be nice. It should be nice.
And then we got to do at least four and a half days because we need to do the swimming and the fishing thing as well as our other stuff. We got to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember Ron said he wanted to do about 5 days. I'm like, okay, that worked for me.
He was talking more like a week.
Wow. Wow, Ron, that would be so cool.
Ron wanted to go all out this next year, and so we got to have Ron call Delaney on January 1st and tell them the date and everything he wants. The guy told us, we asked, Ron told me to ask, and the guy told us we could take everything but the swimming area. They have to leave that open to the public.
Right.
As far as all the campsites, all the lodges, all the camp cabins, the pavilion and everything else.
Oh, my God.
We can line it all up. Ron wanted to bring
in Wow. Oh, Bill, if we had that pavilion every day, that would be one blast. Oh, my God. Just somebody put a cot up for me to take nap.
There you go.
And an IV for the wine, whatever. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
No, I'll bring some more concoction back.
Yeah, we'll have fun figuring out the food, too.
My cousin who sang there, he makes homemade liquor, and it's the smoothest, best I've ever tasted. Pretty good.
Yeah, I know you're all talking about that the other day. I think I'll stick with my Chardonnay, but that's okay. I'm not worried about that deal. I'll just make sure when I'm driving, because I'm not flying no more, Bill. I'm not playing this game. I'm driving. I'm going to rent a damn car, and I'm going to drag Rod Luke to help me because I can't do it without sharing expenses. You know, it would cost me $1,000 otherwise, so I can't do it.
You let people know, I bet you can find volunteers.
That's true. But he told me he would do it, so I'm going to hold him to it one way or another, but hopefully that'll come to fruition. I'm going to say, I'll give him in my Christmas card to him, I'm going to say, Rod, you please just promise me, you know, make it a solemn promise that you'll do it because I don't want to have to fly. I hate it, what they're doing to us.
I'm really hoping we get the chance to do it again next July, but we got to be honest with ourselves that the time for us being able to do these things is coming shortly.
I know.
We're supposed to sound they're not going to let us do that kind of traveling. They don't want us being involved with everybody across the country and stuff.
I know.
And I just want to say for one moment that these few years I've been with the Patriot families, meeting them in D.C., meeting them here in Indiana and stuff, it's been a wonderful blessing to me in my life because it's told me that across this country, many of us out there, that regardless of where we're at and stuff, we love this country, we love what it stands for, and we're willing to stand up and lend our voice in and screaming and shouting, trying to turn it back to the goings in the right direction.
Right.
And I thank you all.
And I got to say that everybody who's, you guys, the Hoot and Holler boys, especially Bill and those that I've known that have been studying this stuff forever, and everybody in Patriot families and those who are in the chat room, myself included, we're the ones that want to have individual sovereignty, and we understand who God is. We understand who's on the throne. We understand the founding because we have the actual audacity to read something that the rest of them won't do. They will just sit there and play parrots. I talked about it yesterday. They're parrots. They're just disgusting.
There's so many more people out there that have the same thing that we do. We're just not linked in together because I've talked to all kinds of people, and they have the same thinking. I mean, that the government needs to get out of our pockets, and, you know, they need to...
They need to get out. They need to go away. They need to go away, and that we just need a little tiny bit so that they can, you know, we can have our sheriff department and they can protect our property when we're at work or we're going out fishing for our families. This has gone so far beyond the pale that I can't even describe it. It's ridiculous. It's beyond.
The lady we buried today was an inspiration to me. She inspires me to do right and to keep fighting for what's right so that I can one day again be there with her, standing beside her. And in my lifetime, I had the pleasure of going out on the street corners with her. My mother-in-law was the type she believed. He went after the sinners. He didn't wait on them. He went after them. And she was the type, if she had somebody on her mind and they was in a bar, she went in the bar to get them.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Today there was a list of names read from our area, people that had been in jail here or there or here or there. And it was an amazing list of names to hear all these people sending their deepest condolences and stuff because they all loved this one. He had touched their lives. Well, that's what we've got to do. We got to reach out and touch other people's lives.
You bet.
We've got to do it in a tactful, intelligent way.
I know.
By telling truth, presenting truthful facts and statistics, things that they can look up into and look into on their own.
Yes, there are going to be them one idiots that, you know what I'm saying, what don't agree. Sorry to say, but they are idiots. I mean,
they don't agree because they're not understanding the total consequences of what's to come. If they understood that, there would be an overwhelming agreement.
So
well, you know,
it was kind of harsh calling them an idiot, but they need to learn the facts. Understand that they're not exempt, and if that shit's going to happen to them.
Let me help you out here. Ignorance is self-inflicted.
That's right.
Some people those.
Some people, look, you know, there was Chad and Lonnie and Bill, the last time that I heard about people that refused to wake up was from Alex Jones last Saturday on Mikey B's show, and Alex was saying, if they're not awake now, they probably aren't going to be. You know, you may have to just move on to those who, you know, who
until
knows.
Things start happening to them, and then once things start happening to them, then they're going to back up and say, wait a minute.
Well, I know that, but maybe at some point it's going to be so late in the game that there's going to be, you know, there's going to be the black helicopters over their heads, and then they're not ready because they are so behind the times. So, you know, I just say we just keep doing what we're doing, and I think Bill is correct. We have to do it. We have to do it the way Ron tries to do it. You spoon-feed people. You do it politely. You give them the facts. You try not to call names. I know for me it's very difficult because I just get so – I get emotional. I can't help it because I'm frustrated because they refuse to educate themselves. And when you talk about – Bill talks about willful ignorance. I see it around me every single day. I mean, I've got libtards to the left of me and libtards to the right of me. And I'm stuck in the middle with you guys. That's true.
Libtards. we have them around here, Linda. I have a young guy I talk to quite often. He's on to the Agenda 21 and all that, but he still pushes a lot of the lib ideology about share the wealth and this and that.
No. That's Marxism.
For all those people out there in America screaming about share the wealth, and let's look at immigration. 60% of them come from Mexico. Why are they running from Mexico? Because 10% of the people control the wealth of Mexico.
Right. Well, we've got the same problem here because we have fascism, corporate fascism. We don't have anything other than Marxism and Keynesian stuff going on in our socioeconomic central, as you can see. You've got central planning with Agenda 21. You've got Common Core. You've got all the monopolies that are going on. You've got the Federal Reserve Bank, the fractional banking. This is not an Austrian model, free enterprise, free market capital system. It's not. It hasn't been since about 1853. So let's wrap our heads around that, people. And you've got to explain to people. That's why I'm taking Econ 101 from Gary Wolfram, who's a genius, at Hillsdale College. It's free online, and I love it. And next week, or tomorrow, I'm talking about it. You know, people don't understand this because they refuse to educate themselves. I can't take it anymore.
I agree.
It does.
And I think that's the only thing you do is you have to present them with the facts. And that's why when I take his courses, I write everything down on the lecture because I want to get a good mark on the quiz, and I go through the whole number. And then now I have factual evidence to people who don't understand. I actually have it in writing now to prove it.
Yeah. And, you know, with a lot of people, that's how it has to be. They have to see it. They have to.
Right.
And getting them to go look it up, most people don't have to make an effort to do that because that takes away from them playing a game or doing something else.
Yeah, I know. Or going to shop for purses. Oh, my God. Don't get me started on.
What the hell is Candy Crush?
Okay.
What?
Game.
Oh,
I play
my
it
God.
Too.
I hate that game.
I don't know. All I know is I've heard about it. I'm not a game player. When I started getting into this and looking, I realized that I didn't have enough time in a day to deal with this alone. So it didn't leave me a lot of time to play games. And when if I do play games, I like to play it where there's people there involved and I can actually sit and talk to them.
Enjoy. Okay,
there you
guys,
go, yeah.
I'm going to run. I'm going to go back to the chat room and finish my dinners for my people. And you guys, God bless, and God bless Bill and his family, all y'all. And I'll see you tomorrow because I got an hour show. I'm going to try to jam-pack it with economics because we've been lacking on that. Love you guys.
Love you.
Guys, you know, going back to this, we're going to have to get together. Everybody, we see Linda doing it. We're going to start planning to come when the weather starts breaking and we get chances here. Every chance you can get, talk. Obama's saying talk about health care at Thanksgiving. Crap, if you're going to talk about how it's a big screw-up. If you're going to talk about it, let's talk about all the other things going on. Because truthfully, if we do not change things, our children and grandchildren, or at least our grandchildren, they're going to be enslaved to the global elite. And they'll be told, you know, their lives will be totally, totally controlled. These people are that evil. They are that arrogant to think that they are somehow higher up the evolutionary ladder than we are. A true genius will never seek office because he knows it's a bunch of crap. He wouldn't be that smart. If he didn't know that, then he's not a genius.
Very true. Very true.
Because these people that you see in office and stuff, these are not the smartest people in the land. These are the people that found a way to bilk the taxpayers to pad their own pockets. These are people who seek office. There was a time in this country when men didn't seek office. Office sought them. The public, the people knew, hey, this guy's a leader.
That's a good guy.
And they went out and got that guy and brought him over there.
Now we're just getting people shoved down our throats.
False elections. We get people that are being raised and groomed to be politicians. It's like a generational thing. That's why we see so many second and third generation politicians. I can't say that it's done us good. They would have values towards their family. And it comes down to these people are willing to sell their own family out for a dollar in their pocket or an extra ounce of power, control. We are facing dark times. And it's up to us, many out there involved across this nation and around the globe. I have many people around the globe I relate to daily, weekly, and we talk about Agenda 21 because Agenda 21 is a global initiative. It's a global agenda. It's not just an agenda for the United States.
No,
it's a global agenda. And people got to realize that it's something that, if you read into it, you realize what's going on, it should scare you, and you should be out here screaming and hollering. But instead, everybody wants to just, you know, go on with their life. Oh, they can't. Well, damn it. You know, whether you want to be a part of politics or not, whether you want to be involved with politics, you say politics, you don't do politics. Well, that's fine. But the truth is, whether you do politics or not, politics is going to do you.
Yeah.
We see it.
Very true.
Whether you want them to do it or not, they raise a tax on something. Whether you want them to do it or not, they'll put an extra fine on something. Whether you want them to do it or not, they'll pass a law that nobody agrees with. I mean, that's just how they do. They have to.
But they'll pass it before they read it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know how much time they take out of the daily partying schedule to actually read a bill?
They don't read it, so it doesn't take them long at all. I mean, they don't read it. They just sign it.
All that global warming won't come across.
Call me a dumbass. Because when I first got involved with the 912 project and all this and stuff, and we went on to another group after that. Our own Miss Terry Rowland and I, we were assigned to do some research on some bills. So that meant we had to read them. And what Terry and I both found out, just the bills we read, was like, oh, my God, because what they were trying to do then was, you know, it was just screaming, Agenda 21. If you know anything about Agenda 20, it was just screaming it. And so I actually read the 33,211 pages of the health care bill before they started adding to it after the one they voted on, screaming about the home inspections and many other aspects of the bill that have never yet hit the light of day in the public.
Oh, I
have
people.
But I have showed Chad. I've showed Chad things that I can't show on the internet.
Won't let him.
Yeah.
Even that gun law thing about taking our guns away from us, it was showing step by step by step how they were going to try to do it. And one of the steps was eliminating the kind of shells we can get, eliminating the high-powered rifles and the banana clips, and just the steps what they were doing already.
Yeah, they were already. They were halfway through their list already with the steps they're trying to take. And you're going to say, in the health care bill, they'll come and do home inspections. Well, if you've got a gun, even if it's legal, it's going to raise the cost of your health care.
But I talk to bunches and bunches of people all the time, and every single one of them says, let them try to come in my home.
Hey, guys, we got a minute and a half to go.
I just want to thank everybody out there for your prayers. And I'm grateful to the responses, and my wife, she thanks every one of you. And I want to say, we can still win this, because we got the voice of the people, because we are the people.
Yes. That's what the Tea Party is the people.
And it's up to us to spread that word. But not only spread that word, we still need to spread the good nature that this country was truly known for. And there's a wrong way to do things. When you approach people, don't be trying to rough it down their throats. Be tactful. In the military, I was taught tact was being able to tell someone to go to hell and them like you telling them about it.
Amen.
Everyone, God bless, and carry on.
Well, I want to wish everybody Thanksgiving's coming up. I want to tell everybody, I hope they are safe when they're riding and visiting their friends. Be careful. God bless y'all. And don't forget Linda's show tomorrow night. Huh?
7 p.m. Eastern Time, right from the left coast, Miss Linda Sills. Followed up on Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time by Patriot Education and Miss Terry Nolan.
And we'll see you next week.
Nolan.
And we're going to leave you with just this.
Announcement. I just want to encourage everyone to experience in the last election, and I have a song here that'll tell you all about it.
Grandpa.
Paul was an Eagle Scout, a 33rd degree Mason, and he fought in the Second World War. Was a deacon down at the Baptist Church since 1964. Bought clothes for the homeless, toys for the arm on the top, I'm giving his side. But with me, they just made straight G.O.P. Never missed an election in his life. So it took us 5 years to